Welcome to the 590 and High School Sports Show. Here's your host, powered by Texas Podcast Media, Craig Irwin, Toby Tolles, and Trent Hart.
And good evening. Welcome to the 590N Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart down there in the swamp box in Anahuac, Texas. How you doing tonight, Trent?
Man, I'm ready to talk some Texas high school football, and because we're getting so close to the season, and we got to start talking about it. Then tonight's the night.
Yeah, it is. And we got a lot of other stuff, you know, obviously that we want to talk about and we want to piggyback off of. Great podcast that we put out a week or so ago on select baseball versus rec ball and kind of our opinions. And I've gotten some pretty good feedback from that podcast from the people that I've talked to. Had a good amount of downloads on that dude as well. So all of this powered by Texas Podcast Media. But that was a fun podcast, something that you and I have been talking about doing for some time and finally just said, you know what, let's do it. So broke the ice of the summer and got us back up in the studios so we can get back in the swing of things podcasting-wise.
Yeah, we're going to – I mean, if you haven't gone and listened to our last podcast, you know, where we dove into all the travel and rec ball do so, and we're gonna do another show to try and elaborate on that, because like you said, you've heard some pretty good feedback from some people on your end, and I've done the same also. I've gotten a few text messages and phone calls, you know, not near as many rubbed the wrong way. I think for the most part it was positive, and people saying that we hit on a lot of good points. And like I said, if you haven't gone and listened to that and you were involved in any kind of youth baseball or softball, check that podcast out.
Most definitely, you want to go check it out. Episode 21 in the podcast stream is whether you're going through Apple or Spotify, YouTube as well, it's over there. So some fun stuff coming up as we're getting into the realm of things and some things Trent and I are working on. So we kind of change with scheduling wise during the week, Monday through Friday. It's hard for us to everybody to collaborate together. And we decided what Friday night that we was going to get in the hot box on Sunday versus getting in there on Monday, Tuesday to do the podcast. Right. So this week we're jumping in. It's a Sunday night. And as we get a little bit closer and we start getting into the Texas high school football season, we're not only are we going to throw a podcast out there on record on Sunday night, but Thursday nights, we're going to sit down and do a live stream as well. So
we're going to attempt to.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And you'd be looking for that on a 590N Facebook page. I think that's where we're going to try and live stream out. We might even get into multi-streaming, but that show is going to be more of a, kind of, you know, recapping what we talk about on the podcast and talk about the games that are going to be coming up on the following Friday night. We're looking to hopefully have some guests in on the podcast as we get closer and closer to the football season, throwing some names out there and getting some guys to talk a little Texas high school football, not to mention the coaches maybe for Anahuac and for Cold Spring and Shepherd and some of these others that are around here locally, but also getting my broadcast partner Alex Outram in to talk a little bit of football. He spent a lot of time calling games for North Shore some years ago, and he went to school at Atascocita, so he's got plenty of opinions when it comes to those higher schools, which we rely on TT so much on.
No, he does, and he's going to bring a lot of good information in that aspect for us. So I'm looking forward to that as we progress on and kind of get on through the season. And I actually thought Alex was going to jump on here tonight. I thought we were going to get lucky and he was going to come in, but lack of coordination on our part.
Lack of communication on my end.
Yeah, we're going to blame it all on Trent. So, but man, we've So moving into this and getting this podcast and getting going tonight is we wanted to touch on the 7-on-7, right? As they break it down, it's a little bit different the way they do the 7-on-7. They got Division I, Division II, and then Division III. The Division III is the smaller schools, right? So going through, and I'm looking at it, and, you know, Southeast Texas got some good representation going into the state 7-on-7. And as you look at it, you got DeSoto, familiar name, and I was just reading in the book or on the website that DeSoto has a new quarterback this year committed to Virginia, and first year under center, if you will, for DeSoto, but was able to lead them to a 7-on-7 state championship. And going to be interesting to see what DeSoto does coming into this 2024 football season, this campaign that they have.
Definitely is. You know, and it's funny, you look through this bracket, and I know you can't see it at home where you're listening, but you look at this bracket, and it's very similar to, you know, what you see in the Texas high school football playoffs. You know, we've talked about DeSoto a lot, especially last season, but also some names that you don't necessarily normally hear. And you know, Anderson, you know, we've seen them in the playoff picture before, but they made it to the final with DeSoto in the 7-on-7 state final. And then you look through, you got the Woodlands, who made a pretty good run in the 7-on-7. Lake Travis is in there. Cy Falls was in the first round and went into the second round and lost to Anderson. But, no, some familiar names as we go through some of this bracket.
No, there is. There is some familiar names. And you move down to the Division II level, a very familiar name for us down here in Region 3, Southeast Texas. Hampshire Finette wins the title in Division II, Trent.
Which is huge.
It really
is. For Hampshire Finette, because we were wondering kind of about Hampshire Finette and what they might have lost over the summer as far as seniors and stuff like that. I'm just wondering, is it more of a reload for Hampshire Finette as a rebuild period? Because they were a very good football team as a whole last year. 7-on-7 is one of those things that, you know, you put some speedy talent out there to play these football games, because they're quite a bit different than what you see during a regular football game. But you know, the thing is, though, it's a very pretty, you know, it's a pretty good gauge on you know what you're going to look at when it comes to the regular season.
No, it is. And you know, I feel like on this Hampshire Finette deal at the end of last season, we were both kind of wondering what's going to happen. And as I'm flipping through the DC website on the news side, it says on the Division II, Hampshire Finette appears ready to contend. And what they wrote in here, Matt Stepp wrote in here, I see it because been following Hampshire Finette since doing radio and everything else. But it says, slowly but surely, Mark Wagner at Hampshire Finette has built the Longhorns into a team who is no longer just happy to make the playoffs. The Horns have gone 8-4, 9-4, 10-2 in the last 3 years, and in 2024 could be the year that they take over rivals Silsby and Jasper in 9-4A Division II, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Led by quarterback Ty Bryson, the Longhorns have loads of experience back on offense, and the young defense showed a lot of promise this weekend as they won the Division II title with an 18-0 shutout win over Dumas in the championship game. So with saying that, we're going to go ahead. I have a lot that I want to say on 7-on-7. And I think 7-on-7 is really good for schools that throw the ball, right?
Absolutely is.
But whenever you take that 7-on-7 and now you start putting linemen down and you're changing the dynamics, you're putting 3 to 4 hands down defensively, you're adding two linebackers in the box, you're starting to blitz. it changes the dynamics tremendously.
It's like playing six man,
yes, right?
When you're playing 7-on-7 during the summer. And it's more built around speed than it really is about, you know, brute force.
Correct.
Right? When you're talking about those linebackers, you're talking about the linemen and those type of positions. And, you know, it's more of your specialty positions that you're really looking at, your receivers, your tight ends, definitely your quarterback. There is some running that goes on, of course, but it's very high paced and high energy, and it's fun to watch, just like a six man football game is.
No, and I agree, it is fun to watch, and I enjoy watching it. I just, you know, you got teams like Cold Spring the last couple of years, right? They have been, they're prominently a run football team. Shepherd as well, right? Franklin, Lorena, Mahia. You look at those schools and going out that way, you know, prominently run football teams, you know, and you don't see them as a factor here. Now, what I will do is I'm going to take note. Obviously, DeSoto is going to be a team that we're going to be talking about in December. Hampshire Finette is going to be a team that we're talking about in November, probably into December.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right. At least Thanksgiving, I would think, because that's the way it's been the last couple of years. And what's also interesting when you talk about some of these teams that we normally see, and I'm looking at the Division III 7-on-7 bracket right now, it's amazing how many lower class, and I'm talking like 3A or less, from our area actually participate in 7-on-7.
Yeah, and I think it's a conditioning thing, right? And it's getting these receivers and some of these kids a little bit more conditioning and getting ready. It's about developing some quarterbacks, or trying to develop, I guess, would be the thing to say. Developing some quarterbacks at that 3A Division I, 3A Division II, and down. Developing those quarterbacks to possibly explore running the spread or the option type offense. You know, like Shepherd, for instance, you me and you did a game, Shepherd Franklin game, right? And you seen a little bit of everything out of Shepherd. You seen quarterback was in the gun 98% of the time, it was a true speed option type offense with a little bit of throw. So when you have those schools like Shepherd at that point in time, it gives them the opportunity to set up and run, you know, give the receivers an opportunity to run those routes and a quarterback getting in time with them. But once again, whenever you put linemen down there, it changes the dynamics of everything, because now you have guys battling in the trenches and you got pressure coming from the edge, legit pressure coming from the edge, and it's all fair game. You know what I mean? And
right.
I don't know. I'm not big on, me personally, I'm not big on the 7-on-7 at the smaller classifications. I think it's great 4A and up, because that's where you see the spread option. But, you know, I went back and I remember watching the Jasper Sealsby game. 80% of those plays were on the ground. And that was a big game down in Southeast Texas.
Well, you make a good point. You know, a lot of these ground and pound teams that we normally see, like a Franklin, and I'm looking through the consolation bracket here just to make sure that I don't misquote myself. But if you can go into the pool scores, you don't see though as many ground and pound teams playing 7-on-7.
No.
And the reason for that, like you just got through saying, is because, you know, most of these teams are geared toward the pass.
Right.
That are playing. And Anahuac traditionally is a running team. It's kind of, you know, split here in the last couple of years, but they don't participate in 7-on-7 during the summer. I see New Waverly in here. You know, last year they were more of a running team, but they participate in 7-on-7. I see Dangerfield in there. East Bernard is another one. Childress, and you know, there's some teams around us that do at the lower classifications, but for the most part, if you get into those lower classifications, 3A and below, they're more of a traditional running teams, which is why you don't see as much participation during the summer and the 7-on-7 for those.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. We're going to take a quick break here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Take a quick break, hear a word from a couple of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to start going through the preseason state rankings, which I find quite intriguing. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back on the 590 Sports Show right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com. And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy Drubbs Hot Box. Trent Hart in the Swamp Box down there in Anahuac, Texas. Follow him on Anahuac Sports Live. Myself at 590 Sports on Facebook. No Twitter. No Instagram. I did get on TikTok. I am on TikTok, but it's not under 590 Sports. It's just my name over there. But Trent's got Anahuac Sports Live there on TikTok as well. Does a little bit of Twitter. Not much. Twitter's just not ever been my thing. Ever really.
Keeping up with social media in general is a full-time job.
Yeah.
And neither both of us have our own full-time job, so we don't really keep up with social media like we probably should or want to. But they are there. We're all, you know, our Facebook page is our main sources of information, and if you go over there, we're already, you know, getting geared up for the 2024 football season and looking for sponsors, you know, looking for studio sponsors, looking for, you know, if y'all want to get some advertising over there here on our podcast, or if you want to get some advertising, you know, on Anahuac Sports Live during our football broadcast, we're starting to roll with that, and definitely need a sponsor for the Swamp Box over here. Maybe it needs to be the Porter's Processing Swamp Box.
I agree.
I think that sounds pretty good.
I agree. And you and I both know just the people to get in touch with over there at Porter's Processing. They do a great job over there. Great, great people. Just all around good people. Community supportive. Just love them folks. I met Casey through Little League Baseball is how I met him. And making the trip over to Cold Spring several years in a row tournament-wise. And just really good people. But reach out to for the podcast sponsorship, info@texaspodcastmedia.com, or you can reach out to me, 936-827-1175 is my cell number. You can reach out to me there. Would love to visit with you. I have studio sponsors. We got all kinds of stuff. Just give me a
segment
call.
Sponsors. Segments. I mean, we're going to be running your ads. We're going to have all kinds of stuff this year.
Yeah, no, we are. And also scoreboard and pick'em sponsors. We have that available as well. So reach out to me, get with me. We'd dang sure love to visit. But going to have some good guests this year throughout the year. Got one coming up probably the first or second week in August from up around the Waco area. Got a guy going to sit in with us. Got a great website built up for trips while you're on the road going to football games Friday nights. We always talk about food, and that's what this is driven through. So he's going to come in, and it's going to be a lot of fun talking to him, plus talking high school football. He's got a career in radio is what he does for a living. So I'm looking forward to getting him on the show and talking to him and kind of getting his input over there in the Waco area with Texas high school football. But let's talk about these rankings, and we're going to start big school and work our way down to at least 3A today on these state rankings and what the projections are, and some of the districts that are local to us at the 6A level, 5A, 4A, 3A as we go down. But Trent, as you look at the 6A preseason rankings now, they have everything classified into one, and they give you the top 50 out of 6A. Here's why, because they're going to break out Division 1, Division 2.
at the end, they will break out Division One, Division Two. But your top 10, you know, 6A, I mean, that's what mainly, or in every classification, that's what mainly everybody focuses on. And just to let everybody know how, you know, I'm sure the question's always asked, well, how do they tabulate preseason rankings? And a lot of it goes into that. What you ended up at last year obviously plays a big part, right? And then what makes an even bigger impact is what you're losing as far as seniors graduating, right?
Right.
And the insiders over there at Texas High School Football, at Dave Campbell's, they're, you know, they got a group of people that go through each and every team. They look at, you know, some of those details, and then they'll try to populate a preseason ranking. And like you said, 50 listed on in the magazine over there. But we're going to focus on the top 10. Leading off is none other than DeSoto. No surprise there. Followed by Duncanville. These are all teams that are just not a surprise to me. Galena Park, North Shore is number three. Austin Westlake, number four. North Crowley, number five, kind of bumps up in there. Humble, Summer Creek. Humble had a great run last year. They're sitting at number six. South Lake Carroll, a team that has, you know, really been a story team here in the last couple of decades, climbing their way up through the classifications and now in the top 10 of the 6A. Lake Travis sits at number eight. Humble Atascocita, we know about them, talked about them a lot last year, sitting at number nine. And then at number 10 is Cibolo Steel. But the top three, and actually the top four, Craig, to me, are no surprise at all. DeSoto, Duncanville, Galena Park, and Austin Westlake.
No surprise whatsoever. And then at 11, you have Katy. And then at 14, you have Fort Bend Ridgepoint. And then at 18, you have the Woodlands. So, and I bring them up because that's, and then at 23, Houston Lamar. But the big thing that I want to talk about is this Humble Atascocita team. They have the team that won and set a new record in the 4x4 at the state championships in track.
Right.
And it was Humble, Duncanville, DeSoto, and there was one more in there I can't remember. But Atascocita, Duncanville, and I believe it was either DeSoto or North Shore, they all beat the record.
Yeah.
But Atascocita wins it, and it was stupid, like a 38-something or 36. I can't remember the exact number on it, but I'd sent you and TT, both links to that as the state track and field was going on. It's just quite impressive with what Humble Atascocita's track and field had to do, which totally correlates over to the football field. And if you'll remember correctly, we talked about down in the 5A level, we were talking about Fort Bend Marshall, 4A level, Fort Bend Marshall, and about how good they have been and the runs that they have made. At that point in time when they were making those super deep runs in the playoffs, playing through Thanksgiving and stuff, you go back and look at what their track team did. They had set the state record in the 4x4 back then as well. So in their classification. So very interesting to see that. And I wanted to bring that up with Atascocita, with what they were able to do in the 4x, because that's going to correlate over to the football field. And looking at them sitting in that number nine spot, I almost wonder if that's a little too low.
I'm sure, you know, my partner Alex Atram will definitely say that, right? That being his alma mater. And I kind of tend to agree with that. I mean, I think that Humble Atascocita is going to really, you know, kind of surprise us more, I think, this year. I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
No, I agree with you 100%. Now, let's talk about District 13-6A, right? This district makes up a huge district, nine teams in this district. The Woodlands, Willis, the Woodlands College Park, who else? Conroe, Caney Creek, Cleveland, New Caney, Conroe Grand Oaks, Conroe High School, and Conroe Oak Ridge. Willis is in there as well. I believe I said them. So a nine-team district. And they have this district broke out, top four going, the one spot going to Willis, to the Woodlands, number two to Willis, three Grand Oaks, number four Conroe. I'm not sold on these top four picks personally.
When you read them to me, because, you know, Craig over there, he's got the magazine in front of him. And, you know, my first reaction to that is like, I'm not sold on that either. I'm not sold on really Willis finishing second in that district.
No, I'm not either. Now, not taking anything away from Willis. They had a storied run this last year, right?
Absolutely.
But that's the first time in how many years that we've really talked about Willis making a run in the playoffs.
Right. It's been a while. And they did. They had a great run into the playoffs last year. There was a lot of excitement surrounding them. And, you know, I'm just curious as to what they lost, because I think we got in depth with that on what Willis was going to lose.
So
at the end of this last season,
they're losing 37 seniors from last year, returning 15 starters. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's a lot to overcome.
Yeah. They're returning six on defense, five on offense. And one of the six on offense, five on defense. And one of the big guys that they're losing is their quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yes, very huge. They're players to Willis's players to watch out. Jermaine Bishop, his dad played for Willis. 6 foot 170, 4'4", 40. Heck of an athlete. But with that being said, they're losing a key component in that offense.
Well, it's a huge component, because we heard a lot about that quarterback last year, right? I mean, right. Just in passing, and people that we would talk to going to games or whatever the case may be, and especially once we got to the playoffs. And, you know, it'll be interesting how they cope with that loss and who they get to replace him. And they might lean more heavily on the run as opposed to the pass like they were last year. But no, that district, I think, is kind of up in the air. And this is another point I wanted to make about preseason rankings, and something that you and I always say. Half of these teams mentioned, 6A not as much, because usually 6A stays pretty consistent as far as the rankings go. But when you get down to these lower classes, half of these teams won't be in those rankings or in that top 10 by the time we get mid-season and toward the end of the season.
No, you're 100% correct. And you look at New Caney, I'm looking over there at them, right? They're returning 30, and they're only losing 24 from last year, right?
Yeah.
Seven on offense, six on defense coming back. That's a big number. Right. Whenever you're returning more than you're losing, that says a lot to me as far as a program. Right. Cleveland,
sure does.
Cleveland, Caney Creek, neither one of those, I think, are going to be factors in this district. 13-6A. Just don't see them being factors there. I think Willis is going to be in the talk about.
Yeah, they're going to be in the mix.
Yes. But I'm saying in the top of the talk of the top six. Maybe seven, because I feel like any of those teams, the way this district's going to break out, and it's the same district they had last year, any of those teams can break out kind of anywhere in that top four, right? The Woodlands, College Park, Grand Oaks, New Caney, Conroe, Oak Ridge, you know, we talk about them, and Oak Ridge has a lot returning from last year. And I really feel like Oak Ridge is going to be that team that you're going to look at probably in that two spot out of that district, really and truly.
Could be.
So then I'm not going to talk a whole bunch on District 14 and 15. That's 14 is the two, three spring schools, and then the rest are Aldine, right? Now, I will say this. One of the offensive line coaches from Cold Spring took the head job over at Aldine MacArthur this year. So he left. So Cold Spring losing a coach, taking the head coaching job at Aldine MacArthur. I read a quote on this, and him talking about remembering watching MacArthur make deep playoff runs whenever he was a kid. And the guy's younger than us. So I'm thinking, I went back and did some history. It was back in the 80s, the last time MacArthur really made a playoff run. So that kind of had me baffled, but nonetheless. And speaking of them, Dave Campbell's has them finishing seventh in their district. Then you move over to 15-6A. That's all of Klein and then a couple Magnolia schools and Tomball and Tomball Memorial. Now, we remember Tomball winning state championship in baseball this past season. But over in 15-6A, in the preseason, they got Klein Collins, then Klein Kane, Tomball Memorial, Mag and Mag West finishing 5-6. Then you got Klein Forest, Klein, and Klein Oak wrapping out the top nine out of that district. What I'm trying to find is the North Shore district and kind of where they're going, how that they kind of have that district broke out. Here it is right here. District 23-6A, Galena Park winning that district, Summer Creek in the 2, Atascocita 3, C.E. King 4. Then you got Humble, Kingwood, Channel View, and Baytown Goose Creek Memorial wrapping the top 8 out, or that district out. So I think that this, the top 4 out of this district, like I say, Galena Park, Summer Creek, Atascocita, then C.E. King, I think you could flip-flop 2 and 3 and be pretty compatible there.
Yeah, you could. And, I mean, that's, I always hear, is this Atascocita's year to beat North Shore? And you know, we know how dominant North Shore has been over the years. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Atascocita, I think, is going to be better. And they definitely have an opportunity to take over that spot. They do. Not saying that they will.
Right.
But they have an opportunity to, just like anybody else does. And I think they have a better opportunity this year with their athleticism that they're going to be showing. We could see Atascocita take that district.
But we're going to take a break here on the 599 Sports Show. We talked 6A. We're jumping into 5A after the break. We're going to hear a word from Bullfrog Environmental and Randy's Rubs. It don't suck, y'all.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rub Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in the Swamp Box in Anahuac, Texas. How are y'all? How are you doing, Trent?
And we're talking football, and I'm pretty giddy out talking football. And, you know, we're getting geared up down here to host a little state softball tournament, and that's keeping me extra busy. And after that, man, I'm so focused on football down here as we get closer and closer to the 2024 fall season.
I'm ready for it. And, you know, talk about our sponsors. You got Bullfrog Environmental. It's hurricane season here in Southeast Texas. And there's one brewing in the Gulf, or just off out of the Gulf right now. And they're showing projections it's going to come into the Gulf and possibly make a turn to the north and hit maybe just south of Houston. But nonetheless, if, man, you're out here in the hills or whatever, and you're having issues getting your grass growing, and you're worried about that, those hills eroding, reach out to those guys over at Bullfrog Environmental. They'll dang sure take care of you and get some silt fence up, maybe move some dirt around for you and help eliminate some of them erosion issues that you have there around your house. They specialize really in, you know, new construction, but Toby's not. He's not opposed to doing whatever he's got to do, right? So I wish he was here in the hot box with me talking, you know, 6A and 5A. But we went through the 6A numbers, rankings, I guess I should say, there just a few moments ago in the last segment. But jumping down into 5A, not a big surprise, really, as you look at this 5A, you know, with who's there. I think overall in the Division One side and Division Two.
Aledo is definitely the team to beat. And lo and behold, they're sitting number one, followed by Denton Ryan at number two, Highland Park at number three. College Station is after them at number four, Smithson Valley at five, Frisco Lone Star at six, Richland at seven, Abilene High at eight, and then A&M Consolidated at 9, and then we've got Port Arthur Memorial, the only local team to our region, rounding up the top 10.
Now, if you go down to number 19, you have Lufkin. 21, you have Barbers Hill. And that's the only two teams kind of in our area besides Port Arthur Memorial in that top 10, that's in the top 25 out of the Division I. Here's the interesting fact, though. Aledo has won a title in 11 of the last 15 seasons.
Wow.
Moving over into, go ahead.
We talked about some of their statistics during the playoffs,
yes,
right, and how good they are as a program. And, again, they're always the team to beat, and I wouldn't be surprised if they came out of 2024 with another state title.
No, it wouldn't surprise me one bit at all. Moving into Division II, you have Port Neches Grove, number one, South Oak Cliff, two, Argyle, number three, Alamo Heights, four, Texas High, five, Colleyville Heritage at six, Richmond Randall at seven, Liberty Hill, eight, Melissa, nine, and Fort Bend Marshall, team I was just talking about a while ago, and track, rounding off the top 10. But if you look down past there, Fort Bend Marshall, you got Montgomery Lake Creek at 13, Huntsville at 15. And that's going to be it for everything down here close to us in our region, right? Huntsville, Montgomery Lake Creek, we talked about Montgomery Lake Creek this last year as a lot, as they made some big runs, a big run in the playoffs this last year. So made it very interesting, very fun to watch. Team from over there in Montgomery doing what they do. It's crazy. It's kind of like North Shore. You got Montgomery Lake Creek that's so good, but you got Montgomery that's not as good. So it's very interesting to see over there with the antics on how they play their zoning and kids being able to bounce back and forth to schools, Trent.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's something we won't dive into much right now, but it is. It's one of those things that it's just part of the process, right, when it comes to Texas high school football and how, you know, transfers go about and how rezoning happens, and especially whenever you go through a district realignment and how some of these kids land and how some of these schools land. It's just part of it, and it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams build off of some of those that shuffling around.
So as it is interesting, especially whenever you look at Galena Park and North Shore, and I'm looking through here at District 9, 5A Division 1 and District 10. District 10 is where Galena Park is. They're the same school district, but you have Galena Park at 5A Division 1 and North Shore at 6A. So how they bounce those kids around. But here's the deal. Looking over here at the 5A Division 1, right? They have Port Arthur winning that district, Lufkin in the two, Barbers Hill three. Four is Galveston Ball, Baytown Sterling, Beaumont Westbrook, Beaumont United. The biggest thing that I bring out in looking at this is Lufkin is downsizing their travel from where they were last year, going to Dallas, right, the Mesquite area, every other weekend.
Yeah, that was a big deal for them going into this realignment, right? I remember reading a bunch of comments when it came to Lufkin and how, you know, they did not like that travel schedule that they had prior.
Well, would need to go back and listen. Actually, I need to back up and go listen to our podcast that we did on the realignment, because yep, I'm almost positive
they had
Lufkin at 5A Division II. They opted to go up and get moved into this district versus the traveling that they had. I'd have to go back. I believe it was episode number 20 on our podcast, but I'm almost positive that whenever we went through that, we were talking about Lufkin, because when I listened to it the other day, re-listened to it again, I remembered you bringing it up because you had mapped out the distance that Lufkin was going to have to travel to go to a football game.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're right there. And I think you're right that they did opt, or they either had to opt up or they had to file like a
They had to file through the UIL to be able to move.
Yeah, they had
this.
To file something through the UIL to contest it, because I know that they – that was a big deal as far as, you know, their concern on having to travel that much. And so it should be, you know.
So
I think they ended up getting what they wanted. Maybe not everything that they wanted, but for the most part.
But much like down at the 4A level, right? We had – what was it, Hardin Jefferson and Bridge City that opted to move up 4A Division I versus staying in 4A Division II, where they were against Jasper and Silsby. Yeah. Hampshire, Finette, West Orange Start. So they really come out better going 5A Division I and going this route to be in this district with Port Arthur Memorial, Barbers Hill, Lufkin, Galveston, Ball. You know, as you sit back and you look at this district and you think about these teams and kind of who was in the playoffs last year, you know, Port Arthur Memorial, obviously, Barbers Hill, you know, I guess Baytown Burley, Sterling, maybe, Beaumont Westbrook, maybe. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was kind of one of them districts like Livingston was in last year, just wasn't, you know, that great of a district, the one that you really talked about, because there wasn't any of those like big games going on. Right. So, no. With that being said, very interesting. And, you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back on catching that as, we're sitting there talking about this district with, Lufkin, Port Arthur Memorial. So all three of these teams in the top 25, they're in 5A Division I.
Yeah. And, moving on to 4A Division I. This is where I kind of got surprised when we got into the 4A.
You don't want to talk about 5A Division II?
Oh, forgot about 5A Division II. I thought we went through 5A.
No, Division we were doing 5A Division I. We're going to jump over here to District 8, 5A Division II.
Yes.
In our area, you got PNG, Huntsville, Montgomery, Montgomery Lake Creek, Nederland, Dayton, New Caney, West Fork, which is a new school, and Splendor in this district. So Splendor getting a new high school football coach this year. New guy, take the helm. Can't remember his name. He's from the Beaumont area. Can't remember his name off the top of my head. But, you know, Splendor struggling the last couple of years coaching-wise. I got a new coach in there, excited. You know, I remember talking to Dan Muirhead, the on the school board down there in Splendor, and he's like, man, this guy's real energetic, you know, real optimistic. I'm like, what coach isn't? But at the end of the day, it's Splendor. In about every 8 years, they have a decent program and a decent group of kids come through there. That's, that really makes some racket. And the last time they did that, Coach Schultz was the head coach there for Splendor. They got a kid that's a sophomore this year, Aiden Hernandez. I know he went through another shoulder surgery right at the end of school, so I don't know if he's going to be able to get back this year and play. He's probably just going to be there his junior senior year. It's going to be interesting though. Also heard some other rumors about Splendora in the next year or two. We'll wait. We're not going to talk about them on the air anyway. But as this district shakes up, they got PNG winning the district, Montgomery Lake Creek in the 2, Huntsville 3, Montgomery 4, Nederland 5, Dayton 6, New Caney, West Fork 7, and Splendora 8. I feel quite confident in the top 3, and they could go really
definitely
any way. I'm going to, especially the 2-3 spot, the Lake Creek and Huntsville, but Nederland can slip into that 4 spot, and or Dayton can slip into that 4 spot very easily.
They could, and I mean, Dayton is going to have to really right the ship from what we saw last season, and but they very well could, and that 4 spot, as it's in pretty much in almost in every district, that 4 spot is open for anybody to really come out of the nowhere and take. I guess that is the one of the positives of taking 4 teams in each district, just to give that competition down there at the end. You know, it has its negatives too. We've talked about that in the past, but no, that 4 spot in that district is definitely open to some of those other teams that you mentioned.
No, it really is. And another thing I want to bring up, West Fork, the West Fork Gators, New Caney West Fork Gators. This is their first year with the varsity program, so it's going to be very interesting. Players to watch out for, Smith Rawlings, He's a running back and a free safety. Kylan Patton, he's their quarterback. Jashawn Witherspoon, running back and defensive tackle. It's a heck of a running back to play defensive tackle as well, right? Just a few of those players to look out for that West Fork Gator football team. Looking forward to seeing how their inaugural season at the varsity level, see how they do. And we're going to talk about a lot of these teams a heck of a lot more as we progress on through the season and be able to bring up some of these players and be able to talk about some of these guys. But moving in, we're going to jump into the 4A Division One. We're going to go through them top 10, kind of talk about that, take a break, come back, and we're going to wrap, finish our conversation with the 4A and then jump into 3A, 1 and 2. So our 4A Division One, run them down.
We got Stephenville Yellow Jackets at number one, which was kind of a surprise to me that coming out of the gate for preseason rankings. But do you have it in front of you there to where what Stephenville lost and what returners they have coming?
Yeah, keep going down, and I'll bring it up.
Number two is Tyler Chapel Hill. We always talk about Chapel Hill being in the mix. Frisco Panther Creek is number three. Salina four. Hillgore at number five. San Antonio Davenport at number six. The Brownwood Lions are at number seven. Decatur, eight. Austin LBJ at nine. And Bay City wraps up the top 10 in 4A Division One. And the reason I brought up the Stephenville Yellow Jackets, they did very well last year, made a pretty deep run. And I'm almost, if I had to guess, and as Craig's looking it up, they have a lot of returners coming.
They're bringing 20 back.
Yeah.
Returning. They had 32 leaving, 20 staying, right? Okay. Seven on the offensive side of the ball, six on the defensive side of the ball. They were regional finalists last year and went 4-0 in district. And in this district, I mean, Stephenville, Brownwood, Lampasas, Burnett, and Marble Falls. So five teams in that district, right? Very easy to make the playoffs.
But it should be.
It's not easy to sit in that one spot in the preseason rankings.
No, it's not. It's very hard to hold on to that all season long. And I'll be, you know, Stephenville shouldn't have a problem with their district. I mean, you got Brownwood's in that district, which that'll be a district that we obviously just keep an eye on just because
of the Brownwood aspect of it. Yes.
Yes. And the, I think it was, what was it? Anna was also in this conversation last season of this particular division that we were kind of keeping an eye on too. But Chapel Hill is the one that I'm sure that we'll be talking about most coming out of 4A Division One.
Yeah, they kind of got a slow start last year and then kind of picked it up and peaked at the right time getting into the playoffs. Chapel Hill was a good coverage over there at NES, Northeast Texas Sports. You can find them on YouTube, Facebook, and all that. Brent and staff, they do a really good job covering that Chapel Hill football and everything up there in Northeast Texas. And got to give them guys some love with what they're covering up there. But moving over to 4A Division II, Carthage, Gilmer, Belleville, Glen Rose, Wimberley, Brock, Pleasant Grove, Waco La Vega, and Graham, and Sitton in your top 10. Hampshire Finette sitting at 13. Jasper at 17, Madisonville at 18, Silsby at 20, Lorena at 21, Sealy at 24, West Orange Stark at 23.
I have a feeling that we're going to see Hampshire Finette sneak into the top 10 before it's all over with.
I'm going to say,
and that's just and prediction.
I would have to go back and look at their pre-district schedule, but I feel like after probably their second week of pre-district, you're going to see them creep up into the top 10. I think you're going to see Jasper go up, and you're going to see some of these teams drop out, obviously. But you go through and you look at it, at the teams down in the Southeast Texas area, I'm going to put Belleville in that mix because they're real close. But you got one, two, three, four, five. We'll throw Lorraine in there, six, seven, eight. Of the top 25 are right here in our area. So
we're going to, yeah, and what's really surprising is, you know, Brock moving up from 3A Division One to 4A Division Two and sitting at six in the preseason rankings. That right off the bat, I know that they're a great program.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It says a lot about that program over there.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com. Wow! And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart, powered by Texas Podcast Media, here in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in the Swamp Box of Anahuac, Texas. Follow him on Anahuac Sports Live on Facebook. That's really the best place to catch him. We talked about that last segment, but really hit him up over there. Give him a share and a follow and all that good stuff. And stay tuned for this podcast to be released on Apple, Spotify, all of the major streaming networks we're on. So listen to a episode and share it to a friend. Have them listen to it. So, man, these guys are really good. I mean, I don't care if you lie to them and tell them we're really good. We think we're good, but nonetheless, right?
Right.
So we went through 6A, 5A, 4A, top 10, or – yeah, top 10, and then highlighted some teams. So, talked about this Stephenville in that district, right? And we kind of run down. They have that district breaking out. Stephenville 1, Brownwood 2, Lampasas 3, Burnett 4, Marble Falls 5 out of that. But I'm trying to get over here. Let's talk about this. Tyler Chapel Hill winning their district 9 4A. They got... they're predicting Tyler Chapel Hill, Kilgore, Lindale, Longview, Pine Tree, Palestine, Henderson, and Maybank is how they look at that breaking out there out of District 9 4A Division 1. Trying to get down
here. Obviously, that Kilgore Chapel Hill game is going to be one to watch.
Yes, it is.
As we get into district play, and Kilgore, definitely going to affect.
Kilgore won that game last year.
Right.
So here's meat and potatoes down here where we're at, 10-4A Division 1, as you look at this district. You have Little Cypress, Mauriceville, Huffman, Vider, Bridge City, Lumberton, Hardin-Jefferson, Livingston, Liberty. Now, if you'll remember, this Livingston district was very, very dry last year. Like, it was just hard to get into. And I talk a lot of Livingston football on Wednesday nights when I do a radio show for 102.3 The Eagle out of Livingston, Texas. Myself, Brian Besh, Ken Luck, and then Chris Moran, the owner of Bullet Grill House, we sit down together and we talk football, go through some pick'ems and all that good stuff for a pregame show that we do there. And if you have not been to the Bullet Grill House in Point Blank, Texas, you're missing out. Trent, you've had the opportunity to go there one night, and we need to go back. Yes. So, with that being said, they have this district broke down. Little Cypress winning it, Vider in the 2 spot, Lumberton 3, Livingston 4, Huffman 5, Bridge City 6, Hardin-Jefferson 7, Liberty 8. So, with Bridge City and Liberty opting to move up to the 4A Division 1 level, right, they still don't have them making the playoffs in that pre-district.
No, and I wouldn't think so. That district's going to be another hard one to predict. I can't get completely on board with the finish out the way that you just said it, because I think that it can go a lot of different ways. That's one of those districts that, like you said, was kind of, you know, lackluster last year, and going to be one of those that whenever we get to our pick'ems, as we get to, you know, that week before district play, we'll have a better feel about it, right?
Right.
We'll know more about all these teams, obviously, but this district in particular is really hard to predict, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is hard taking Splendora out of the mix, out of that district. But whenever I sit here and look at it and I'm looking at the numbers, right, they got Livingston in the 4 spot. Livingston could easily move up to the 2-3 spot. right?
They could.
They're returning 9 on defense, 7 on offense. That's a pretty good deal. They went 2-9 last year. They were by district finalists. I did one of their playoff games. But Trendon Wilson is returning running back. Williams, excuse me. Very good running back. Enjoyed really watching him run the ball. As a matter of fact, I did one of his games up there at Carthage. I did a Livingston game and really enjoyed it. And just Livingston didn't have enough gas to compete with Athens, who they were playing in that playoff game last year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that really plays out. Out of District 11-4A, you have all of Houston in that. They got Houston-Worthing winning that one. Fur right behind them. Yates in the 2 and North Forest in the Yates in the 3 and North Forest in the 4 spot, with Wheatley, Cashmere, Washington, Scarborough, and Northside. 9-team district there in 4A Division 1. Dropping down to 12-4A Division 1 also, you got a District 12-4A Division 1. You got Neville, Freeport, Brazosport, Navasota. Navasota getting a new head coach. We'll talk about that briefly. Fort Bend, Crawford, Stratford, and Fort Bend, Willow Ridge. They have Navasota finishing the 2 spot. Trey Williams, the new Trey Allen is the new head coach there at Navasota. He came from Kirbyville, and that's going to be a big talking point whenever we go into that segment talking about 3A Division 1. In the district that you and I are really keeping an eye on because we're vested in that district. But they got Neville winning that district, Navasota in the 2 spot, Stratford 3, Fort Bend Willow Ridge in the 4, Freeport Brazosport in the 5, and Fort Bend Crawford in the 6. So very interesting to see that district and having Navasota finishing in that 2 spot, as I do not believe Navasota, trying to look at their overall record from last year, it doesn't have it in there. But Navasota just hasn't been a factor for a number of years. And if you remember back to 2010 to about 16, where Navasota was just an absolute threat you were looking at right, year in and year out, making deep runs in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were. And what I'm really looking forward to here, I was looking at it, is that 4A Division 2 that – you know, we talked about Hardin Jefferson and you know, moving up and opting up, but what do we got for that Division 2?
So in District 9 4A Division 2, here's what we're looking at. You got Hampshire Finette, Shepherd, Jasper, Tarkington, Silsby, and West Orange Start. So they have this district breaking out: Hampshire Finette, Jasper, Silsby, West Orange Start. We know the last couple of years, West Orange Stark has not been the West Orange Stark that we remember. They're returning 5-5, right? They're returning 22 overall, only losing 11. So they're going to be deep. Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to be bad. I mean, only losing that many players and you know, it's hard because West Orange Stark, you want to give them the benefit of the doubt because it's West Orange Stark,
right?
Right.
A lot of history there.
This district is so hard. It is so incredibly hard. And those top four, I wouldn't be surprised that there's some mixing going on. I fully anticipate Hampshire Finette taking that district. But that 2-3-4, it could go in any of those teams' direction. And we saw what Jasper did last year.
I'm going to say this. Shepherd's JV team last year did not lose a football game. Those kids are moving up, a lot of them, right? Miles is returning. Coach Robinson is returning 18, six on each side of the ball. That's a high number, right? Especially for Shepherd, that's a high number. And the thing about Coach Robinson and his staff, and I know, mark my words, and you can quote me, and I told you this the other day, Miles is going to tell you, man, we just try to make something happen, you know, work with what we have to work with and make something happen. And that's what they do. And that's what they have done for a number of years, as Coach Robinson being the head coach over there. And he's been very successful at it with some playoff runs and stuff. We had the opportunity to see a good bit of them. They're returning their quarterback, Preston Stevens, from last year. So he's returning back. I mean, you go back and you look at them, they're skilled players. They're returning a lot of them. So I'm not saying that Shepherd-West Orange Shark game is Shepherd's going to win it, but I think it's definitely going to be a game to watch.
Well, it definitely will be. And you talk about Shepherd, and, you know, Shepherd and Tarkington both moving up into that district. And we talked about how, you know, kind of bad we felt about it, right? But I think out of the two, you're right. I think Shepherd is probably going to compete the best out of those two that moved up into that district. But I think the top four, I think they got it right. It's just a matter of where they're going to fall.
Yeah, and I think
Hampshire Finette.
I think it's, yeah, the more the 2-3 spot, I think those could flip-flop either way. And honestly, I think that Jasper's going to finish out real close to being that way. And we'll talk about that as we progress on through the season and get closer into district play, because we're definitely going to bring that up. Let's jump into 3A Division One rankings. Now, Sleepy Joe, I talked to him the other day, and we had a conversation.
All of Winsboro is upset. Yeah. Reading the comments on some of these posts, I can see the Winsboro faithful coming out, and like they think they got hosed out of this top 10.
Well, yeah, because they moved Malakoff into that district, right? And they got Malakoff sitting in the one spot, Columbus 2, Franklin 3, Hitchcock 4, Edna 5, Bushland 6, Paradise at 7, Grandview 8, Goliad 9, Sweetwater 10. Then you got Winsboro at 12, Pottsboro at 14. So Malakoff, Winsboro, Pottsboro, they're all in the same district.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you look down to the bottom, we have in the 23 spot Dieball. And it seems like there was another one. Whitney's at 17. Yeah. Dieball is the only one down in our area in 3A Division One that is a factor in the top 25, and rightfully so. Coach Morrison's done a very good job, and if you look at the notes on here, it says a Region 3 sleeper. If the trench play develops, watch out. Well, I can tell you the trench play will develop because I've watched Dieball enough, right, over the years. I know Coach Morrison well enough. I know how that's going to play out. So, over on the Division II side, Gunner, Dangerfield, Newton, no surprise there, Canadia, Poth, Jacksboro, Lexington, Holiday, Wall, Tidehaven, wrapping out the top 10. And as you look down at the rest, here's one that surprised me to be as low as what it is at number 20, Woodville. I figured they would be up higher after dropping from 3A Division 1 down to 3A Division 2. I figured Woodville would be ranked a little bit higher, but they're not. They're down there at the 20 spot.
I agree. I expected them to be at least in the top 15. And Anahuac, well, we'll get a good look at Woodville. Anahuac plays them, I think, week 2 of the preseason.
We got them either week 1 or week 2. We got I'd have to go back and look, but Cold Spring has them in the pre-district schedule as well.
Yeah, week 2 is when Anahuac will go over to Woodville. Actually, in week 3, I'm kind of looking forward to this game. They'll be playing the Garrison Bulldogs at Woodville in week 3.
Might have to be sick, huh?
Yeah, that I have to go to Woodville 2 weeks in a row. I'm not looking forward to that particularly, but
right.
No, Woodville, I mean, dropping down in classification and not being ranked a little bit higher, they are in the district with Newton, which you'll go over that district here in a little bit, but yeah, kind of surprising that they're not, you know, higher up than what they really are. Of course, I don't know what they've lost senior-wise, but I know what they did need to lose, and that was the attitude that we saw on the field from them last season.
I agree 1,000%. I talked to you about that going into an Anahuac Woodville game, if you remember correctly, in the playoffs.
Yes.
And I told you, I said, watch out for this. I said, you're going to see it. And sure enough, you did. I believe you had an ejection early on in that game, didn't you?
Not that game. It was the game prior, in the prior week, that the ejections happened, but that was the talk going into that playoff game that we covered. And, you know, we saw it. I mean, that's, you know, hopefully, I know Ty Robinson over there, you know, he's probably definitely working on that. And there's probably some bad eggs that really needed to get boiled off of that roster. And, we'll see what happens. We'll both see, you know, get a really good look at the Woodville Eagles in the preseason.
Most definitely. Let's talk about District 9 3A Division 1. Teague, Crockett, Dieball, Huntington, Fairfield, Palestine, Westwood. Kind of a shakeup. When we went through that district realignment, we were looking at these teams, wasn't quite sure how this was going to play out over in our area with knowing the numbers that Shepherd and Tarkenton had and them moving up, right?
Well, it was a shock to us, really.
It was.
How this ended up.
So,
I mean, we weren't expecting it.
No, not at all. And I definitely wasn't expecting Cold Spring to drop to District 10. I was thinking they were going to stay in that district with Dieball and Westwood. Really thought Trinity was going to move into that district. Their numbers were real close to where they could have went up, but the UIL saved them some face. But they got Teague winning that district, Dieball in the two spot, Palestine Westwood 3, Fairfield 4. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go on a limb and say this. I think the top three could go either way out of that district.
I think you're right, and I honestly feel like Dieball is going to finish higher than what they've got them listed at.
Well,
most likely in the two spot. I mean, I think.
So as I'm surveying this, Coach Zach Linscomb, he's got 23 returners coming back, 7 on offense, 5 on defense, right? But 23 returning. Dieball has 16 returning.
Really?
Westwood has 18 returning, and one of those 18 is Kevin Bryant, their quarterback, and he is something special to watch. And I had heard rumor when we were in Westwood last year that DeSoto was trying to pick him up, and Duncanville was trying to get his dad to come over there and coach basketball, because
right. watch the what you're saying there, huh?
No, they
but
were,
it's true.
They
it,
were recruited,
but it is true,
to get his dad to come over there and coach basketball. This kid's a heck of a basketball player as well, right? So
yeah,
he travels all over the United States playing AAU basketball, getting picked up. So the kid's a heck of a basketball player and would round out their basketball team, you know, one of them, possibly make them contenders there. So with that being said, he is still at Westwood, so it's going to be interesting to see. Everybody knows that I've been on the Westwood horse for a while, and I'm still there. So it's going to be fun to watch. Let's talk about our meat and potatoes. Or do you want to take a break, and then we'll jump into that 10-3A Division 1?
Before we go over there, because you talked about the 3A Division 1 top 10, and as I mentioned earlier, half of the teams, this is a prime example where I feel like half the teams won't be in the top 10. There's going to be, I feel like Malakoff, Columbus, Franklin, Hitchcock, they're all going to be up there, right?
Right.
I think Paradise is going to end up staying up there. But as far as some of these other ones, I feel like they're going to drop, and I feel like some of our region teams may be in the talk when we come into 3A Division 1 and even 3A Division 2.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. Let's take a quick break here on the 599 Sports Show at Texas Podcast Media. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll pick up on that, and we'll wrap this up. You're listening to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the hot box, Randy's Rubs hot box here in Cold Spring, Texas. Trent Hart down there in the swamp box in Anahuac, Texas. Now, Trent, we kind of closed out that last segment. We're still on the 3A topic, right? And you brought up a very good point about the top 10 and how that's going to jump around as the season really gets underway, right? And there's a lot of factors. You got kids that's going to get hurt, maybe a late move, something, you know, move
grades,
out.
Grades. All kinds of stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that plays into factor there. But with that being said, I think you're right. You're going to have your Columbus, your Malakoff, your Franklin, Hitchcock, those top four. I think that that's like really spot on. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
But once Definitely you get is. To that 5 through 10, man, that's going to be a carousel down there.
I think it will be. And I really feel like it will be, and because there's so much. I mean, I understand Sweetwater. I get it. Why? But I don't anticipate them really being a factor. And the reason I say that is, you know, it's not, you know, and the new district is tough over there with them. Jim Ned, Clyde, Comanche, Breckenridge. It'll all be a battle, but I just don't see them staying up. I don't see really Grandview or Goliad staying up. And I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I don't see Bushland staying up there. Like you said, it'll be a carousel, I believe, especially in the Division One on those last 5-6 spots.
And with me having that book this year, we're going to really be able to stay in on that, right, and be able to look throughout the season and go back and say, hey, remember this? Remember going into July 4th weekend, we had that podcast that came out, episode number 22? Yeah. Let's talk about 10-3A Division One. This is something you and I are very vested in, right? So this district has Anahuac, Kirbyville, Buna, Hardin, East Chambers, Orangefield, and Coldsburg. That's what makes up this district. 7 teams. And it's a good district. This is a district that I looked at in the bi-district round for a number of years, right? Through realignments and realignments and realignments, it was always we were going down there to the I-10 area, right? And playing in the first round of the playoffs. Cold Spring couldn't compete. I'll just go out and say that. Cold Spring could not compete. Now, they got this district. This is how they have it made up. Anahuac, East Chambers, Orangefield, Cold Spring in the top four. They got Kirbyville at 5, Buna at 6, Hardin at 7. Now, Kirbyville's got new head coach, right? Trey Allen went to Navasota, but Kirbyville still got a good amount of returners. They're bringing 22 back from last year. Cold Spring is returning 24. Anahuac is returning 27. Buna only has 7 returners.
Okay. Wow.
East Chambers has 17 returners. Orangefield has 25 returners, but a new head coach
and a new system.
Yes.
Right. With that new head coach comes a new system. And Alex made a great point on a Facebook comment that Orangefield could have some rough start to adjusting to a new offensive scheme.
Well, and that's where the 7-on-7 really comes in for them, right? And
they didn't. I don't think Orangefield even played 7-on-7, did they?
Surely they did. I would have to go back and look. But with a new coach coming in, you would think that would be something that they would want to key in on.
It might be, but I didn't see their names or the Orangefield in any of the pool names. I could be wrong there too. But
they may not have qualified, right? They may not have qualified, but going from the slot T to, I'm going to assume they're going to go to the spread option is what you're going to see Orangefield go to. They're going to try to spread the field out a little bit. With them doing that, I can't see why they would not play 7-on-7, try to develop quarterback-wise. I mean, let's be real. It's not hard to hand off, right? Right.
And they I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about their new coach and what his philosophy is as far as offensive scheme goes. But I'm you know, we're obviously going to be super invested in this district and watching it very, very closely. I feel like, though, you know, even with Kirbyville having a new coach, I feel like they're the sleeper in our district, not knowing really, you know, how, because they ended up fairly good last year.
Right.
And kind of a surprise to some of us, and I feel like that's going to be the case this coming season.
Well, they were the surprise, right? Because if you go back and you look at our district picks, when we were talking about that district, we had Buna finishing up higher than what they did, and boy, that was just a travesty what they ended up doing, 3-3 overall, right?
Yeah, it was
with what Buna did. But you know, the big deal is putting Cold Spring into this mix, right? And, you know, they graduated. They have some JV kids that'll be moving up to the varsity. You had a couple coaches leave. Coach Kerry Bryant went to Livingston on the defensive side of the ball. Had another coach take the head job over at MacArthur. So, and I really liked him on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line coach. I really liked what he was doing. Coach Stanley has Coach Randy Rowe, Coach Brad Green, which I hear rumors all the time. I just don't know if there's any backing behind that or any merit behind that. But I'd heard that Coach Green was looking to make a move back home. His son's going into high school and wanting to be there to coach him. So I heard that was a possibility that he may be leaving. So it's just, I'm not quite sure. Coach Rydell's going to have the defense for Cold Spring. He's going to tune them up. And I thought he did a really good job defensively last year. My struggles and what I see for the Cold Spring Trojans is on the offensive side of the ball. And losing right. Luke Monroe,
I agree.
Losing him is a big loss. I felt like last year they did not utilize Luke Monroe to the best of their ability, having him in the wideout position and totally limiting his touches. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I don't want to go too deep into this because, you know, we got district predictions that we're going to talk about, and there's still a lot that could happen between now and before district play starts. So I'm very curious. Now, I will say this. Tiger Parker is going to be one to watch, running back. Caden Barton is another one to really watch out for on the defensive side of the ball, and an absolute standout player. And I think I sent you a screenshot of this the other day. But Parker had 1,824 yards rushing at 22 TDs last year. And then Barton had 47 tackles and 9 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, 1 interception last year. So there's still a lot there that could happen for the Cold Spring Trojans. And I love the football team. I love the kids. I just got to speak real whenever we're sitting here talking about it, right? And we ain't even talked about your Anahuac Panthers in the big wow, what's going on over there.
Well, and there's all kinds of things going on over in Anahuac, and them being picked to finish first in this district is not a surprise to me, and I'm not talking just because I'm Anahuac biased. It's just there are so many seniors returning to this football team. We know about, and we've talked about in the podcast last year, of the tragedy that the team experienced losing two kids to an automobile accident, and that definitely contributed. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It contributed to what was going down on the field for that football team last year. But look, you know, moving past that and going into this year, like I said, there's so many incoming seniors. One is Quandre Coates, the tight end that is committed to the Raging Cajuns here recently. The linebacker for the Panthers that is also returning, going to be a big factor, is Tyler Kelly. He was a beast as far as being all over the field. Also, the big return of Brady Barrier, the quarterback that the Anahuac Panthers had for his sophomore year, not this last season, but the season prior. The kid's got a great arm. He's got a mind for football, can read defenses awfully well. You're going to see the Panthers have kind of a new look. Traditionally, Anahuac has been a running football team, but I think that we're going to see more of a spread offense this year, especially with Brady Barrier coming back, and they're going to have some more speed you know, on the outside with their receiver positions. The question for the Anahuac Panthers, I think, is going to be up front on both sides of the football when it comes to the linemen and if they've just got the size to be able to, you know, battle it out in the trenches. But East Chambers being in the number two spot is no surprise there to me either. Coach Sutherland does an excellent job over there with his program and got a heck of a young quarterback coming back for his sophomore year. And you talk about an arm, that kid can chunk the football.
So, like we say, we talk about these and we enjoy talking about these pre-district rankings, right? Because you don't know. Right. And it's all a prediction. It's all, you know, there's a method to their madness on why they pick these teams the way they do. And I know why they put Anahuac where they did. But, you know, East Chambers, Orangefield. Here's the deal. Orangefield and East Chambers, both of them, more Orangefield than East Chambers is where I'm going with this. It's such a disciplined program already, right? And it's really an ideal spot as a coach that if you're moving into that position, it's like, man, I'm really optimistic about this because of the discipline that was there. You're going to have that trying times, you know, from the kids because you're new. But the kids have that discipline instilled in them, so it's going to be interesting to see. So I'm excited to see how this district shakes out and us talking about it a little bit more. Let's jump over to 3A Division II. Let's talk about District 12 3A real quick so we can wrap this show up. You got Warren, Koontz, Trinity, Woodville, Anderson, Shiro, New Waverly, and Newton in this district, right? So we talked about it a while ago in the rankings. And Woodville being at number 20, we figured they would be a little bit higher. So the big numbers that stick out to me is returners versus what you have returning from last year to this year. So Newton is returning 20 and losing 9. They're returning 7 on offense, 7 on defense. Woodville is returning 20 as well, but only 4 on offense, 7 on defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play out. Newton finished in 3A Division 1 last year, 5-1 in the district record. Obviously, we know what Newton did last year. We talked about them. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. They have the district finishing Newton, Woodville, Anderson, Shiro, New Waverly. I think the 3-4 spot could go either way. New Waverly is returning 17. Anderson is returning 20. A large number. I mean, even Koontz is returning 21. Warren is returning 23. And if you want a treat of a football stadium, go down there to Warren and call a football game in Warren, Texas. I did one a number of years ago, and I sat in the home bleachers to do that game. And I know, Trent, you've been guilty of having to do a game from the bleachers yourself.
No, I'm just super happy that I don't have to go call a game from the bleachers in Tarkington Prairie.
Man,
that's the main thing.
I'm not going to get on it. I'm not. It's too early.
We beat that to death.
It's way too early.
This district, I fully anticipate Newton to win it. Yep. I don't feel that Woodville is. I think it's going to be a good game when they play Newton, but I don't think that Woodville is going to take this district. I think they're going to sit comfortably in the 2 spot. You just said something huge. Was, you know, we were surprised that Woodville wasn't a little higher in the rankings, moving down in a classification, but that 4 number on the offensive side of the ball, that's why. That is the key number as to why Woodville is not ranked higher.
Right.
And in these rankings and returning only 4 on the offensive side of the ball, that is a huge obstacle to overcome for Coach Robinson over there.
No, it really is. We're not going to take a break. We're going to shut it down here.
Wrap it up.
We're going to stop here at that 3A level here on the 590 Sports Show. We're going to come back next week. We're going to talk 2A, maybe some 1A stuff, and we got a lot more to talk about. Recapping backwards off of our podcast last week, episode 21, talking about rec ball, select ball. Trent's got a lot on his plate in the coming week after the 4th. So July 4th, we're looking forward to that. He's got a big state tournament down there in Nanawak. And if y'all are bored, go out there and watch some like top class, really good softball. Got 2 tournaments, 10U, 12U, or 15U going on there. Ranger softball, and if you got a league that's looking for a new organization, go to rangersoftball.com, rangeryouthsoftball.com, and it's a really good program, good leadership there, and definitely 100% about the kids and building the kids as what their rule set is. So reach out to them, reach out, email them, talk to Joe Grimes, the state director, super cool dude, and very educated in softball, so worth talking to. If you're looking to grow your business, info@texaspodcastmedia.com or 936-827-1175. Reach out to me. You can email Trent. Trent, what's your email?
Anawak Sports Live, all one word, @gmail.com.
So email either one of us. We'd love to get with you and set up a sponsorship if you're interested in kind of help you grow your business, help us grow our business. Everything that we do, we put right back into this podcast, and trying to grow it and make it better is what our goal is, and grow from there into more broadcasting as well. So if you're interested, be sure to hit us up, info@texaspodcastmedia.com or anawaxsportslive@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me, 936-827-1175. Love to have a few of y'all come on board. We got scoreboard sponsors, segment sponsors, show sponsors, the whole nine yards. So, and you're definitely going to get your money's worth. I can assure you of that, because we got, gosh, from now till December, January, end of February, we'll be doing podcasts talking high school football and other stuff. So stay tuned to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll see you at the game.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.